Good morning, everyone. Welcome. That's a powerful, powerful psalm to kick off our day with. Glory to God. Psalm 121. Hallelujah. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. Glory to God. This man probably out, you know. He loved the fields. He loved the hills with the shepherd. Being his shepherd thing and with the sheep and all that. And looking around, he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall bless thee by day, not the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Now let's do that psalm one more time. Wherever you are, I want you to read that psalm with me, and we're personalizing it instead of thy or you know, we'll say, me, the Lord will preserve my soul. The Lord is my keeper. So we're going to do that psalm one more time. I want you to read it with me. And let's make this confession. Let's make this our prayer this morning in the name of Jesus. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth me will not slumber. In fact, he that keepeth me shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is my shade upon my right hand. The sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve me from all evil. He shall preserve my soul. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Father, we love you this morning. Indeed, you are our heavenly Father. And we praise and adore you, Lord, this morning. We say, thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Thine is the glory. Thine is the majesty, and thine is the power. Even the kingdom is thine, O Lord. For thou, O Lord, hast created the heaven and the earth. All things in heaven and earth were made by you. You are the one that stretched forth the heavens alone. You didn't need any help. And you did all these things by yourself. Glory to God. And we thank you, Lord, before the world began, that you foreknew us. And you put our names in the Lamb's Book of Life because you knew we would trust in his blood. And we trust in the blood of the Lamb, even today. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord. We say all power and honor and majesty come from you. In thy hand, O Lord, is power and might, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O Lord our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. We thank you for the work of redemption. Thank you for grace. Say, Lord, the law and all of these things came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We thank you for the grace of God that brings salvation. It's been revealed unto us. We've partaken of it. Glory to God. And the Lord has us in his hands. And the devil cannot pluck us out of his hands. Therefore, Lord, today we come boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace and to receive strength. We have come to receive strength. We have come, O Lord, to receive strength. Blessings to the name of the Lord. Lord, we bless your name this morning. We give you all the honor and we give you all that praise. Let thy kingdom come. Let the power, let the weight of your glory fall upon us even this morning. Glory to God. Let your will be done in earth, in our lives, even today as it is in heaven. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Give us today, Lord, that which we need. Our daily strength, our daily bread, our portion of the king's meat that belongs unto us today from the king's table. Glory to God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will guide us into the center of your will, even today, that we will not falter or go to the left or to the right. We will be right in the way of the Lord, even today. Deliver us, O Lord, from evil. Guide us away from temptation. Help us, O Lord, to forgive one another. Forgive our own sins also, Lord, even as we forgive others that offended us. Offenses must needs come, the Lord said. But Lord, I pray that you will take all offense from our hearts, that our hearts and our conscience will be void of offense before God and before man. In the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for this new day. It is the day that the Lord has made. And may we rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. Is it well with you this morning? Good to see you, everyone in the room, Brother Sam. Always good to see you. Thank you for being here. Sister Tricia, good to see you. Thank you for being here. Sister Elaine, Sister Pearl, Sister Mary, Sister Grace, Brother Kolakbo, Sister Titi Layo, God bless you. And welcome to the stage, my lovely wife, Ebon, as well. Good morning, everyone. Another day, another opportunity in the house together as we fellowship around God's word. Lord, I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. And it gives understanding to the simple. Another day of encouragement today. Glory to God. Now the Lord did tell us, let's keep the fire burning. Our fire must not go out. That's why by the grace of God, we are here every morning bringing wood. Put more wood upon the altar, he said. Let the priests do that. Let them lay the wood in order. Glory to God. And let them crank up that fire again and again. And again. So Lord, we thank you for that as you enable us to do that throughout, not just in the morning such as this, but let that fire carry with us throughout the day. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Well, let's share the room. We're going to get started right here in just a minute. Share the room, please, if you would. Share it on Clubhouse. Let people know you are here. And let's share it to our friends. You know, let them know that the Lord is good and we are here. Praise God. All right. Well, I'm going to get right to it. Glory to God. Today, I welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Double for your trouble. An encouragement room today, once again, to help us. But listen to the words. Always there will be something. There will be something that the Lord will inspire into your heart. Despite the fact that you may have heard these scriptures before, while you are listening this morning, as long as you can engage him in the spirit, he will show you something new for the day. Glory to God. So I'm going to start here in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. And let's start at verse 7. Now remember, it's double for your trouble. Glory to God. So the trouble, now we are very close to the end of the year. Today, I believe, is day 22 of December. You know, so we're getting very close there. About 10 days or so to go, if you count today. Where, you know, the new year is right around the corner. And there may have been things that we believe the Lord for throughout the year. Well, to the glory of God, I'm sure many of us have testimony of what the Lord has done. There are still other things yet to come to pass. As we go through this time, let's keep on believing the Lord. So, you know, I'll share this exhortation with us today around the subject of God's benevolence. That's right. It's around the subject of God's benevolence. And it's also around the part that we must play in patiently waiting for the Lord. So Isaiah 61 and verse 7 says, "For your shame, ye shall have double. And for confusion, rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land shall they possess the double. An everlasting joy shall be unto them." Well, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, tell us a story, tell us a few other things, you know, from the Lord, and see what the Lord will do. "I will rejoice greatly in the Lord," he said in verse 10 of this same Isaiah 61. "My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." Glory to God. So the Lord, he is the one that covers us, even with the garments of salvation. He's the one that covers us with the robe of righteousness. And let's see what Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12 says, talking about the benevolence of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12. "And you're giving us hope. Are there any ones today that are prisoners of hope?" That means, you know, you just, you know, you're hemmed in waiting for some hope, you know, to break you out, or some good thing to happen to you. Well, it will. "Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will render you double." Glory to God. "I'll render double unto you," the Lord said. Now, what does that all mean? Well, we're going to find out in a minute. "Render unto you," the Lord said, "double for your trouble." But we must hope in his word. We must hope patiently. We must have faith. And we must patiently endure. I'm going to tell you some things, some scriptures to give us hope and patience while we are enduring. And then we're going to tell you the story of, bring something out in the story of Job, which many of us know. You know, the Lord did tell us, the book of Hebrews chapter 6, he told us that we got to patiently wait. Now, there's some trouble, a situation that we are going through, you know, but he says, "For God," Hebrews 6 and 10, "is not unrighteous to forget your labor and your work," your labor of love and your work, "which ye have showed toward his name, that ye have ministered to his saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end." Don't ever lose hope. "And be ye not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So there is always faith on the one hand, but then patience while we're waiting. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, not before, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Listen also to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. The scripture gives us many admonitions concerning patiently waiting. He says, we started at verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence in the Lord, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, show up in your situation, he will come, and he will not tarry. Yet a little while. Just hold on just a little bit longer. He will not tarry. You know, he will not tarry. He's coming for us. We have need of patience. We have need of patience. Even in the scriptures, I mean, even in the gospels, Jesus talking to his disciples told them to hang on, patiently wait and endure. In Luke chapter 21, you know, and verse 19, he says, look, in your patience, possess ye your souls. In your patience, possess ye your souls. And the psalmist, of course, I love to read examples out of the life of David. He was a man just like us, you know, but he loved the Lord in his heart. Well, he had his own situations. He had his own trials and troubles. At his time that he stumbled and fell, but he clung on to the Lord. And he said in Psalms 40 and verse 1, I'm going to read the first three verses of Psalm 40. Encourage us again in the Lord this morning. Glory to God. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Glory to God. Yeah, you got to, you know, wait. He brought me also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon the rock and established my goings, or reestablished my goings. I put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord. Glory to God. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respected not the proud, such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are towards us, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Hallelujah. But he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, even some of the epistles, you know, of the prophets of the Lord and the apostles of the Lord, they encouraged us to wait, you know, patiently. All the things that we're going through, whatever it is, he said, wait. You know, let's take a look at James chapter 1. We pick it up from verse 3. You know, he said, look, well, let's pick it up from verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. That word temptation is trials there. Knowing this, that the trying, see, that's why it's called trials. The trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. Now, patience. He said, look, the trying of your faith worketh patience. And we got to have that patience. We need patience. We have need of patience. The Bible says over and over and over again. Listen to this also in, before I come to how God's going to give you double, I'm just reading, some background of what we must do while we are waiting. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, let's look at verses 3-5. Again, we are learning, we're learning patience while we're going through. Hallelujah. And he says, let me see if I can pick it up from, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah. In fact, let me start it from verse 1 for even more context. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in trials and tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. See, when we're going through tribulation, it's working in us patience. And patience worketh experience. Your patience will bring experience. Experience leads to hope. Because we know by experience that every time we've been going through, God always comes through at the end. So when we're going through again now, we have hope. That just like he came through in previous times, he'll come through again. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Glory to God. So even 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us the same thing, how we must patiently wait. Say, but the grace, say the God of all grace who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after, not before, but after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Glory to God. Now let's pick up this lesson about double for your trouble. The Lord said he will give you double for your trouble. But I was encouraging us that, before we get there, we have got to wait. Let me read one more in James chapter 5 and verse 11. And this will lead us to the story of Job. In James chapter 5, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Glory to God. As a matter of fact, let me start it from verse 10. Take, my brethren, for example, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. He said, look at the lives of the prophets. Look at the lives of those who have gone ahead of us for an example of suffering and of patience. He said, behold, we count them happy which endure. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, James said in James 1 and 12. We have heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord in the matter. For the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Did you know? I'm sure most of us knew the story of Job, but let me bring out a few points here. Remember, blessed is the man that endureth trial and temptation. James 1 and 12. For when he is tried, shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them who love him. Glory to God. Now, the story of Job, as we all know it. Job was a trophy in the contest between the Lord and the devil. Unknown to him, the Lord bragged about him being a righteous a man that is upright, that escheweth evil, that love and fear the Lord, and so forth. And the Lord even told the devil, have you seen and considered my servant Job, how there is nobody like him? And the devil said, well, of course, you know, he'll fear you and he'll love you because you've surrounded him with all kinds of blessings. But let me put forth my hand now. And then you'll see what he'll do. And then they had that conversation twice. The Lord said to the devil again, he tried a few things. You know, the devil came back and said, look, you put a hedge around him, you know, but skin for skin, if I go up against his life now, he's going to curse you to your face. The Lord said, okay, you know, go for it, but you can't have his life. And then in one day, all kinds of calamities began to happen to Job. I mean, it was everything that he had. And I want to bring out, you know, this story here in Job chapter 1, you know, verses 2 and 3, just to see all the things that Job had. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household. This man was the greatest of all the men of the East back in the day. And he had a great, substance. You know, it came to pass while their sons and, you know, so forth went to feast. You know, and their sisters and everything. Calamity came upon all of them. You know, they all died. They were all killed. The devil came upon them. And so on. And yet, you know, Job, he feared the Lord. And the devil said, look, he didn't fear you for nothing. You put an edge around him and so forth. You know the story. So we fast forward through all of the things that the Job went through. All his children killed in one day. You know, fire burnt all of the other things. All these great wind from the wilderness fell upon them, destroyed them, you know, as if that was not enough. Destroyed everything he had. Destroyed everything. I mean, bad news after another, you know. And then, of course, his friends who came to console him, they chided with him. They said, well, you know, does evil come to anyone that hasn't done evil? So they thought it was the evil that he did that made all these things to come to him. But we know that Job didn't do any evil. As a matter of fact, he was upright before God. As a matter of fact, God was bragging about him. But all of those things came upon him. And there was all this conversation back and forth between him and his friends. And even at one time, Job, you know, he cursed the day that he was born. He said, look, you know, I should have just died when I was born, you know. Why didn't, I die between the knees when I was coming out? Cursed be that day. And he cursed that day. You know, because everything was just, he lost his mind almost, looked like. Because when you lose 7 sons, 3 daughters in one day, what are you going to do? this man, I don't know. I don't even know how he got through there. And the people that were around him that should have held him up, instead of that, they were rebuking him. They were challenging him. You know, that, look, there must have been something you did. Because, you know, these things don't come to people like this unless they did something wrong. And on and on and on and on. Well, even the Lord, at one time, had to come to Job and say, look, because Job was so distressed of life. He didn't curse God or anything. But he knew. You know, he just said, look, well, blessed be the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. But there was all kinds of trouble when his wife came against him. He said, look, just curse the Lord and die. What are you waiting for? Well, he wouldn't do it. But he began to wonder in his heart. Why? Why do all these things come upon me? And then the Lord came unto him and said, look, can you contend with the Almighty? What do you know? Let me tell you some. Let me ask you some things and see. Draw out knowledge from you. You can read all of it in Job 38. And the Lord said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know, where were you when all these things happened? You know, when all the morning stars sang together and the sons of God, they rejoiced. Where were you? When I laid the foundation of the earth, tell me, where did I put the corners thereof? You know, upon what things do I hang the earth and all that? Do you understand the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion on the earth? He asked him even, do you know the goings forth of Maseroth and his sons? Do you understand, you know, the Pleiades and the Orion and these things? He began to ask him all the constellations. And Job was just dumbfounded. He said, can a man contend against his God? You know, and then all of that, fast forward. Well, one day, Job finally figured it out. He figured it out that, look, all I got to do instead of contending with these, my friends, who turned out to not be so friendly during his hour of trial, when he was weak, some of them stomped him down, you know, and all that. So at the end, we fast forward to the last chapter of Job, Job chapter 42. And some things began to happen when Job finally prayed for his friends. And the Bible says in Job chapter 42 and verse 10 that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now, there is a deep secret there. There's a deep secret. Now, these friends were not too friendly at that time. You know, but Job finally turned around. They were the ones that should have been praying for him. They were the ones that should have been holding him up. But when Job finally said, look, all right, you know, I will pray for you. Now, the Lord actually also rebuked his friends at the end. The Lord rebuked his friends. And he said, look, my servant Job will be the one that will pray for you and so forth. Now, but if you don't, I will come against you in your folly. And the thing you have spoken is not right. Like my servant Job. You can read that in Job 42 and verse 9. You know, the Lord, you know, spoke against Eliphaz and some of them and so on. Anyway, when we come down here to verse 10, he said, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice. Now, that's double. Twice as much as he had before. Now, let's see if it was actually so. Now, in Job chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he said he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 cattle, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses. All right. So let's see. At the end here, he said the Lord gave him, he said he blessed him, the latter end, verse 12, of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep. Now that's twice as many as 7,000 sheep. Then he had 6,000 camels. That's twice as much as 3,000 camels. And then he had 1,000 yoke of oxen. That's twice as much as 500. Then he also had 1,000 she asses. That's twice as much as 500. I mean, why? Look, the Lord wanted to bring out a point. You may have read the story of Job before and perhaps not even considered this point. You know, we just knew that the Lord turned his captivity, but we didn't know that God actually gave him double of all his possessions. You know, and God put it out there just so we would know. I mean, mathematically, it was exactly 7,000 sheep at the beginning. Now he had 14,000. I mean, just put your Bible out and compare it, you know, one chapter to another. Compare Job chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. Compare it with Job chapter 42, verses 12, you know, verses 12 and so forth. And just compare 12 and 13. The only thing that God did not double for him was his children. He received again 7 sons and 3 daughters like he had at the beginning. You know, so God wasn't doing the double in that area, but in all his possessions, everything down to numerical, you know, numerically double. 14,000 sheep at the end versus 7,000 that he had before. 6,000 camels at the end versus 3,000 that he had before. 1,000 yoke of oxen at the end versus 500 that he had before. 1,000 she asses at the end versus 500 that he had before. Exactly double. But the Lord said, yes, he gave him double, twice what he lost. And so here we are today. Is the Lord able to do to us after the pattern of these things that we read in the Bible? Yes. You could have lost so many things. You know, God will give you double back. Now, we're not talking about two wives or two husbands. No. But in all these other things, and even in the wife or husband, you know, Lord, the next person that he brings into your life, maybe just twice as kind, you know, twice as gentle, twice as compassionate, and twice as loving. God will do it. He can do that too. You know, so he won't give you two wives or two husbands, but he can make them twice. I mean, wipe the memory of the old away and so on. But let's look at a story. But there's something that we must do. There's always something in all these stories that we must do. You know, Job, you know, at one time he said, look, I'll put my hand upon my mouth because who am I? I've spoken against the Lord. And, you know, and the Lord, after the Lord told him and called him out, Job also said, well, you know, I've been foolish. You know, I've said things that I shouldn't have said, you know, and the Lord, he really did call him out. But let's fast forward here. Leave the story of Job there for a minute. And let's fast forward to the New Testament and go to Luke. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. There is something that we must do. You know, now it doesn't matter how we got into the situation that we got into. Most times, and not in the case of Job, there wasn't anything that Job did wrong, except that he was greatly afraid. You know, he allowed fear in his life. Job chapter 3 and verse 25 said, the thing which I greatly feared had come upon me. So Job was actually, you know, having fear, you know, fear of losing all these things. And that was a gateway. And I think the devil might have been able to latch in onto that. But nevertheless, despite the fear that was in his heart, according to Job 3:25, the thing I greatly feared had come upon me. Despite that, the Lord still called him a perfect man. You know, so, you know, the way that the Lord calls, you know, the way that the Lord calls us out is not the way that, I mean, people see us sometimes. You know, when the Lord says, look, this man is a perfect man, others may not see it that way. When the Lord saw the place that Moses was standing on as holy ground, Moses did not see it that way. He saw it as bush. He saw it as dirt. He saw it as rubbish. Because he was in a desert. He was standing on just ground. There might have been leaves. There might have been dirt. There might have been whatever there. But God said, no, this is holy ground. Take off your shoes. Now, Moses didn't know it was holy ground. But it became holy ground. 1 minute, it was all of that. The next minute, it was holy ground because of the presence of God. And God said, don't think of this place anymore as bush or desert. It is holy ground right now. And that's what the presence of God does in our lives. Never mind the fact that it was once a desert and bush and dirt and maybe rubbish on the ground. But the moment that the presence of God appears in that life, it is holy ground. And God does not look at all that dirt anymore. He's looking at his presence. Even the fault that Job had. I mean, his friends actually challenged him. We read this yesterday. They said, look, you are the one that encouraged everybody. But now when it happens to you, your hand is weakened. You know, so maybe Job wasn't really as strong as he thought he was. I mean, he feared. He had fear in his heart. And whatever else he had going on, he questioned God at times. But despite all of that, the Lord still called him a perfect man. Now, in the story of the so-called prodigal son, there was something that he did finally. We're told that when he came to his senses, you know, he came to his senses. So, coming to his senses, I mean, he came to his father and said, look, give me the portion of goods that fall unto me. And if you give me the portion of goods that fall unto me, I am going to do whatever I want. So, you know, and he did whatever he wanted. You know, let's turn to Luke chapter 15 and pick up this story. In Luke chapter 15, a certain man had two sons. This is the story that we all know and call the prodigal son. He had two sons. This is Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. The younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. You know, and they divided them unto them his living. So when the son went away, the rest belonged to the older son, right? Because there were only two of them. And he divided unto them. So this younger took his own. He went in his journey and wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted it. He went down to Sin City. Wasted his substance with riotous living. I mean, because he came suddenly into wealth. He had no discipline. He had no knowledge. He had no prudence on how to manage those finances. He lost everything and he became even worse. You know, and let's let one thing be clear, you know, that the fact that this young man asked his father to give him the portion of the goods that became belonged to him, there was nothing wrong with that. That was not his sin. Because we've been taught traditionally that the boy was foolish because he asked for all the things. No, that was not what made him foolish. What made him foolish was because he had no prudence. And he did not know how to manage the funds. And he went and squandered it. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. So he asked and he received. Nothing wrong with that. But then he went and squandered it all away. That was his problem. And even when he began to be in want, the Bible said that, look, he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country. He sent him to feed in the swine with pigs. And he would even... I mean, he was hoping that they would even give him some of the food that the pigs had to eat, but they didn't give him. So one day, now this is the turnaround point in Luke 15 and verse 17. So one day he came to his senses and he said, look, how many hired servants are in my father's house that have bread enough and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against you and before thee. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. So he came to himself. And this is what we must do. We must acknowledge our sin. We must acknowledge our issue. The psalmist said, my sin is ever before me. I acknowledge my sin before you. For it is ever before me. And he cried unto the Lord. And we must do that. We can't blame the Lord. We can't blame the devil. We can't blame anybody else. I mean, people are always blaming everybody but themselves. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, sometimes, a lot of it, sometimes the devil cheap shot you. And maybe it's none of your fault, but the devil cheap shot you. But sometimes, a lot of times, because lack of wisdom, lack of prudence, lack of sound judgment and counsel, we've taken many wrong turns. God blessed us with something, we messed it up. You know, this man was blessed with tremendous fortune. He could have gone and invested in and became something great, and we would never have heard of that story. He did something great with it. But he messed it up. And it was his mess to clean up. It wasn't God's mess. It wasn't his father's mess. You know, the father gave him the blessing. And it was his mess. He made his mess. He made his bed. You heard people say that. Make your bed and lie in it. He made his bed in that mess. Squandered everything away. And he couldn't even eat. I mean, I don't know how much weight he would have lost and how haggard he would have looked. You know, by the time he came to his senses, because he had no food. I mean, he was on top of the world, holding parties, throwing his weight around and doing all kinds of things, riotous living. But then one day when he came to his senses, he acknowledged his sin. And he said, look, I'm going to go to my father and I will say unto him, Lord, Father, I've sinned before heaven and before thee. I'm not more worthy. I'm not even worthy. He took the step to go and make restitution. He acknowledged and took responsibility for his actions. And he went to his father. But in the meantime, before he got there, the father was waiting the whole time anyway. Always looking out. Ask your brother, ask his brother, have you heard from your son, your brother today? What? You know, maybe every day and on, but you know, he probably sent letters out and different things and, you know, to go look for his son waiting, you know, if anybody has found him. No, nothing. But he's always out there waiting and hoping. And so one day when the son coming back, the father was the first one to see him. Because his father was always on the lookout. I know my son's coming back. Glory to God. I know my son is coming back. And so here's a promise for some of you today. Have your children wandered away from the path of righteousness into the land of the enemy? But they'll come back. Glory to God. Jeremiah 31. You know, and verse 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears. For thy work, say over your children, shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. You know, you train them up. Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way they should go. You did all of that, but they didn't. They for a while went the right way and then they wandered into the land of the enemy. They wandered off into darkness. And they see, it looks like, and this thing wounded your heart. It could be your child. It could be your grandchild. It could be whatever. And the thing is, you know, a big wound in your heart. You know, but you stay, you know, with hope. You say, ye prisoners of hope, stay with the hope. Just like this father was staying there every day. He was looking at, is my son coming today? And then every day, no, he wasn't there. Yeah, but he was out there looking again. Is he coming? No, he wasn't coming. The next day, he's out there again. Is he coming? No, he's not coming. But in his heart, he believed he's coming. And then one day when he came, he was the first to see him. When he was in a great way afar off. Because he was always looking and expecting. And ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, there can be no breakthrough without expectation. You know, the situation that you are in, you got to expect the glory of God to come through for you. Even Jesus, the Bible says that, you know, he was promoted to sit in the right hand of the throne of glory. From henceforth, expecting till all his enemies be made his footstool. Which the last one of them is going to be death. He's expecting that. Everybody got to have that expectation. Now, if your children have wandered up, behold, saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again. Glory to God, from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thy end. For ye prisoners of hope, there is hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children, that's what he's talking about here, thy children shall come again to their own border. Somebody say amen in this room. Glory to God. He'll do it too. God, the Lord said he would do it. Hallelujah. So that's where the promise of the Lord is. But this young man, he took responsibility. His so-called prodigal son. He took his responsibility for his actions. You know, and he came to his father, asked for forgiveness. Now, some children need to ask for forgiveness from their parents. But nonetheless, this boy, he came. But lo and behold, what he did, what happened to him when he came. You know, all he was asking for was, look, I have lost the right to sonship because of all the things I've done. But I know that in this place, you have so many servants that have 3 square meals. And I languish away. Make me as one of your hired servants. That's all I want. Just give me a place I can eat and sleep and drink. Again, Father said, not by any chance. You are my son. Glory to God. The Father restored him to sonship, which he thought he had lost. And God has a way of restoring things once we take responsibility. Doesn't matter how you got there. You could have gotten there because of a cheap shot from the devil. You could have gotten there because of some mistake that you made on your own. In the case of Job, it wasn't even anything he did wrong. He was a trophy in a contest between the Lord and the devil, and he didn't know it. Well, whatever the case is, for many of us, it's probably because of some bad decision that we made. Some bad decision. We took a wrong turn. You know, and sometimes when you take a wrong turn and you keep going in the wrong direction, you may be thinking, oh, maybe someday I keep, you know, you just keep going the wrong direction. You probably magically somehow get to where you're going. No, you already took a wrong turn. You may never get to where you're going. You may have to go back to the place where you took the wrong turn and then take the correct turn. Who knows what you have to do? But however you got to the situation that you are in now, the Lord is good. He said, I will give you double for your trouble. Now let's look at some of the other promises that he gives to us. Isaiah chapter 62. And then shortly we're going to pray. Isaiah 62, the Lord talks about, you know, a new standard that he's lifting up for you today. Will bring a ray of hope. And some of the things that he promises, that he said, look, what you have labored for and all that, you're not going to lose it. Nobody are coming in to eat of what you have labored for. Isaiah 62 and verse 8. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. The sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine for which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink in the court of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up an highway. Gather out the stones. And lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye unto that daughter of Zion. And that's unto you right here this morning. Behold, your salvation is just around the corner. He's coming. Glory to God. Now, let's not lose hope. You know, it could be just around the corner. There's a story in Exodus chapter 15. These people that came out of Egypt, they were always complaining about everything. You know, they said, look, the Lord brought them out and then they got to a place and there is no water. They complained about that. And then they forgot that the Lord that brought them out, he can provide water. But they complained, said, look, we want to go back to Egypt. Many of them in their hearts. And then they went a little further and then they got to another place and there was water, but the water was bitter. They still couldn't drink it. So they complained even more. You know, and they always said, look, we want to go back to Egypt. You should have left us there alone. Why should you all these things? And they kept on complaining. You know, the Lord, of course, gave them some relief by turning the water, bitter waters, to sweetness. Lord gave Moses how to do that, and he did it. But they always complain, not knowing that just around the corner, the Lord had prepared 12 wells of water. You can read that story in Exodus 15, and come back to verse 27. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palms that the Lord had provided for them. Yeah, they had 70 elders of Israel. They had 12 tribes of Israel, but the Lord had provided 12 wells, 70 palms. They could eat the dates and all the things, you know, it was just around the corner. But they kept complaining. They didn't know it was just around the corner. You know, the new year is just around the corner. There may be things that we've been waiting for through this year, and it's coming to an end. Psalms 30 and verse 5 says that joy is coming in the morning, even though sorrow may endure through the night. But we must patiently wait. We don't know what time it is going to be. When God made promise to Abraham and even swore, he didn't tell him giving the timeline. He didn't know whether, you know, it was going to be. I don't think Abraham knew that it was going to take him 25 years, you know, to get that promise of a child through Sarah. But it took that long. And God put those things out there for our benefit. It could be one day, could be one week, could be a month, could be a year, could be several years. The word of God will come to pass. I will give you double for your trouble. Yeah, that's the word we have from him today. The Lord promised in Romans chapter 8 and 28. It's kind of a promise if you read it like that. But Paul was making a declaration. He said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his eternal purpose. Well, here's the way I pray about it. All things will work out for me for my good because I love the Lord. And God is able. That's the way I see it. God is able to make all things eventually work out for my good. And if we believe it, he can do it too. The Lord said he will make the crooked places straight. In Isaiah 45 and verse 2, I will go before thee and cut asunder the gates of brass and make the crooked places straight. You know, and the Lord said, look, I will turn even rivers. I'll make rivers in the desert, turn deserts into places that have rivers, wilderness. Create a river in the wilderness and all these great things the Lord promised. And finally, he says, you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, no matter what we are going through, we are encouraged that God always gives us the victory. He says, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. But there's a special kind of blessing and triumph that God is encouraging us to believe for this morning. It is called double for your trouble. Now, you have seen, you have heard the story of Job, and you've seen the end of the Lord. And I've shown you, comparing verse to verse right here, how actually he got exactly double all his trouble. The Lord said he gave him twice, and so he did. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's take courage, even today. Let's take courage and let's believe the Lord. Have patience as you're going through. Hold your head up. Don't grumble because you don't know. It might be just right around the corner. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, he will, the Lord, your heavenly Father, he will answer you speedily. Well, speedily to you, to God may not be speedily to you. You may think it's delayed, and long hope actually does weary the heart. But for the Lord, 1,000 years is like one day, and he'll come through for you. Now, you may be going through a painful process, but the Lord will come through for you. And when he does, he will give you a tremendous lift up. A lift up. He'll give you what will seem even like double all your trouble. But he said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, you know, Shall he still find you at the point of faith? Even as we read, he said, the Lord will come, your salvation cometh. When he comes, though, will you still be at the point of believing? Let's not be grumbling and unbelieving and complaining and doing everything in our, you know, like these children of Israel. But let's believe the Lord for his blessings. Father, I pray over everyone that's in the room today that listened to this exhortation this morning. And those that will yet listen, you are able. The Lord is able to give me double for my trouble. I believe the Lord is able to give you double for your trouble, even if you brought that trouble upon yourself. As long as you acknowledge your sin, take responsibility for your actions, and go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord said, I will abundantly pardon. Isaiah chapter 1, he said in verse 18, come unto me and let us reason together. Don't run away from the Lord. Come to me, he said. You know, most people, you know, when they're in a bad shape, they run away from the Lord. But to the contrary, the Lord said, come now. Don't run away from me. Come now in Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But be careful now. If you refuse and rebel against the Lord, then you'll be devoured. The Lord said it. But, you know, let that not be our portion. Let us be such as come to the Lord. Be, you know, like that prodigal son eventually that came to his senses. Now, don't be like him in his foolishness. He squandered all the things that the Lord gave him. But be, you know, like him when he finally came to his senses and said, look, you know, I got to take a step of faith. And I believe, you know, I own up for my problems. But let me see what my Father will do for me here. So as long as we have that change of heart, acknowledge what we've done wrong before the Lord, the wrong steps that we have taken that brought us into this situation that we're in, could be financial, could be economic, it could be relationship, it could be whatever. And we are in this situation. We acknowledge it. God is going to turn things around. I pray that the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, we comfort you by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power of his Holy Spirit. And he will enable in you a heart of hope. Glory to God. He said, we hope till the end. For there is hope of a tree, though it be cut down, that it will sprout again when you receive the scent of water. May this exhortation this morning be another sprinkling of the scent of water upon your situation. Receive hope and receive strength and look for a brighter day. Hallelujah. Now, there are just a few days left before the end of this year and before we clock the next year. And in these last few days, let's take inventory and say, Lord, you know what? Maybe I missed some opportunities this year because there were some shots. God put it. Ball in your hand, but you didn't take the shot as the, you know, clock was winding down because you thought, well, what if I miss the shot? And so you didn't take the shot. Now the ball is in your hand. The clock is winding down. You got to take that shot. And who knows? You might just sink it. It might be nothing but the bottom of the net. But the devil says, well, what if you miss it? The people will crucify you because you lost the game. Well, the angel of the Lord will say to you, I will guide you with my eye. Psalm 32 and verse 8. And you will not miss it, but you must take the shot. But every shot you don't take, if the ball is in your hand, the clock is winding down. I'm talking about basketball now. Clock is in your hand. I mean, ball is in your hand. Clock is winding down. And you're scared to take the shot because you might miss it then you already missed it. Every shot in a situation like that that you don't take is a shot that you already missed. But take the shot. Glory to God. You might just make it. And the Lord said, I will guide you with my eye. Yeah. I will guide you with my eye. I will give you inspiration. As a spirit in man, the inspiration of the Almighty will give you understanding. You make that shot. And when you make it, you save the day. Glory to God. Praise God. So let's always look on the positive side. So today, look on the positive side. Don't look on any negative thing that you are fearing that the enemy will put upon you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today. I am going to, I'm going to have an announcement at the end of the room today. So stay tuned. But right now I'm going to yield my mic to anyone that want to comment and share or give additional insight or give a testimony. We want to do that now. So God bless you. Thank you for listening in. That's our lesson for today. And every day we are trusting God that he will give us bread for the day. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning.